This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. Here's a little quiz. What do all of these hits from the 60s have in common?
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through?
Each of those cuts, you hear the rhythm guitar of my guest, Glen Campbell. Before his solo career, Campbell was part of a legendary group of L.A. studio musicians known as the Wrecking Crew. In addition to playing on many Beach Boys songs, including Brian Wilson's landmark work Pet Sounds, Campbell went on tour with the Beach Boys when Brian became too ill to travel. When he set off on his own, Campbell had a string of hits, including Gentle on My Mind, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman, and Galveston. He hosted his own TV show, the Glen Campbell Good Time Hour. Though his life at times seemed charmed, he battled drug and alcohol addiction and married four times. But he never gave up music, and now, at age 72, he has a new album called Meet Glen Campbell. It includes hits by current artists such as Green Day, Tom Petty, and the Foo Fighters. Here's the first track, the band Travis's song called Sing.
Baby, you've been going so crazy. Lately, nothing seems to be going right. Solo, why do you have to get solo? You're so, you've been waiting in the sun too long. But if you sing, 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 for the love you.
Well, Glen Campbell, welcome to Fresh Air. Do you think you're picking up a younger audience? I mean, there were a lot of folks who were real kids when you had your big hits. Do you feel like that there's a whole new generation that's getting to know Glen Campbell?
Yeah, I think there are. Because a good song is a good song. A lot of people, they listen to a good song, but they ain't got a hole in their ear. I don't know where that came from. But the songs that we picked... The country, the rock, the whatever kind of music you say it is, I never really looked at it like that. I looked at it as just being good music, but a lot of people seemed like they wanted to pinhole things. You know, this is country, and this one is rock, and this one is pop. And, you know, I never looked at music like that.
Right.
I just wanted to do it like what the song called for, and people, they make up their own mind, whether it's country, rock, pop, or crock.
You know, you've got a lot of years on that voice, and I'm really impressed with its clarity and range in this record. Have you done anything in particular to preserve your voice over the years?
Oh, yeah. I quit drinking. I quit smoking. Get my rest. I can sleep good now, thank God. With a clear conscience, I might add.
You know, another song that I really liked was Jesus, which mm-hmm. was from Velvet Underground. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you approached this one?
Well, to do it naturally a little bit different than they did.
Yeah.
Actually, I really like what the song said.
Right. Well, you did a lot of gospel recording in the 90s, didn't you?
Yeah. I made some gospel albums, and it was fun. It was fun to do. I might do another one. You know, if it was any really good new Christian songs, I'd do another album.
Let's listen to your version. This is Jesus by our guest Glenn Campbell.
Jesus, help me find my proper place. Jesus, help me find my proper place. Help me in my weakness, 'cause I'm falling out of grace. Jesus, Jesus.
And that's Jesus by Glenn Campbell.
Let me find my special place, or let me find my place. I thought that was a great line.
And it's interesting, you know, Velvet Underground had kind of a minor key here. Some folks wondered if it was sort of an ironic take on a religious message. Well, should we hear Velvet Underground's take on it, which is so different? Let's give a listen. This is Velvet Underground doing a spiritual song, Jesus.
Jesus, help me find my proper place. Jesus, help me find my proper place. Help me in my weakness, 'cause I'm falling out of grace. Jesus, Jesus.
And that's Jesus by Velvet Underground, our guest Glenn Campbell. Let's talk a little bit about your life. You grew up in a small town in Arkansas. Big family, 12 kids, is that right?
12 kids, 8 boys, 4 girls.
What kind of childhood did you have?
Working. You worked. As soon as you got old enough to milk the cows, you milked the cows. It was slop the hogs. We didn't have electricity when I was a kid. We had to watch TV by candlelight. No, that's a silly joke. But it's I did the chores, and we didn't have, like I said, we didn't have electricity, and we farmed. Daddy, I remember when he first let me drive the cultivator for him, you know.
The cultivator?
Of course, a cultivator, yeah. It's a plow.
Right,
actually,
right.
With two things, anyway. So that was great. That he eased you into the hard work that you had to do later.
Did you think you'd spend your life on a farm, doing farming work?
No, I didn't. I came to Albuquerque with my aunt, my dad's sister. She had married some guy from the radio station, Dick Bills, and I auditioned for him, and I got the job. And I was in Albuquerque probably 6-7 years. We had a radio show every day on KOB, and we'd go out on weekends and do concerts.
Well, for you to audition in Albuquerque, you had to have already been pretty decent with the guitar. How did that get started? That's when you were on the farm, right?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember not playing a guitar. And Daddy, he made me a capo out of corn cobs, you know, where you can, you know, clamp it down on the A position and you can play C position with it. You know,
right, that's where it's a capo. They actually make them now on guitars where it sits on the frets so you can shorten the strings, right?
Yeah.
And your first one was out of a corn cob?
Yep, it was out of a corn cob with a nail through it. I'll never forget those things. I must have been 7-8 years old then.
And were you singing to it at an early age?
Mm-hmm. We sang in church. It was amazing. The Church of Christ that we went to there, we had to go. You know, all of us were breastfed, and if you wanted anything to eat Sunday, you had to go to church with Mama. And that's the truth. And I love the singing. I remember hearing the singing, but a lot of it was out of tune because the Church of Christ didn't have a musical instrument.
I happen to know that. Yeah, I went to the Church
acapella.
Of Christ. Yeah.
That's a. But when I'd do something, I'd take my guitar and play for them. I'd go down to the Baptist church where Grandpa Campbell was, and I could play my guitar and sing down there.
Well, you must have had some talent because, you, as you said, you ended up in Albuquerque, and I know that you joined the band The Champs, which had that famous song Tequila.
Right.
So you made your way to Los Angeles, and you became one of really a legendary group of studio musicians that did tracks for what groups? I mean, it's a long, long list, right? The Beach Boys. Right?
Yeah, the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, Nat King Cole, Sinatra, and my buddy Dean Martin. And just everybody, really. Mamas and the Papas, the Blossoms. Everybody that... We played almost on every record that came out of Los Angeles. And that was the crew called the Wrecking Crew. It was the best. What an incredible band! It was the best musicians I had ever played with. And you got to be on your toes for session playing because you're laying out a pretty good chunk of money there, and they don't want no overtime.
Well, now you were never trained to read music, right? I mean, was that an issue?
No, it wasn't. I learned to read chord charts, the time signatures, but I never learned to read notes. That was always so hard for me. I can pick up a sheet music and play it, but not necessarily the melody.
So you played rhythm on a lot of these tracks, right?
Yeah, that's what I played, rhythm, because of my capo. If it was in E flat, I could play C position in E flat. It drove the guys it drove them nuts. What? How can you read like that? And I said, well, I'm just pretend I'm in C when I'm actually in E flat with my capo on it, playing open chord rhythm. And that's one of the reasons, that wall of sound that Phil Spector came through. I mean, he recorded God knows how many people. And they wanted that big, open, ringing sound, like the Righteous Brothers thing. When you hear that, it's like it's a huge, open, big sound. And the wall of sound, that's all they were wanting, that ring a ring a ring a. You can even hear I can hear a little bit of the feedback now on "You Never Close Your Eyes Anymore." The Righteous Brothers stuff, ring to it. It was wonderful.
Why don't we listen to just a little bit of that track, the Righteous Brothers, with "You've Lost That Love and Feeling."
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips, and there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, but baby, baby, I know it. You lost that love.
And that's the Righteous Brothers. The rhythm guitar there, our guest, Glenn Campbell. That's "You've Lost That Love and Feeling." I'm just picturing this is back in the early and mid '60s, and you're putting in long days in the studio, right? And one producer after another. And what's happening is you guys are putting in music, which then becomes hit records for other groups. Did you feel ripped off?
No, that's the most money I'd ever made. Uh-huh. it beat the hell out of picking cotton. I can tell you that. It was just I had more. I think that was the part of my life that I remember is sitting down and playing with the best musicians in the world, literally.
And then you went solo. Did you always see yourself as going out and having a solo career?
Yes, it did. I just waited it. I waited for it to come to me. I was making records, here and there, like "Turn Around, Look at Me" in 1962. But I love the studio work.
And when you said about doing solo, you wanted to wait until it came to you. What do you mean?
Where I didn't have to, I wouldn't go out and knock, I was in a position where I didn't have to go out and knock on doors. Everybody, and then a lot of people didn't even, the guys didn't even know I could sing. And when I started, I got more kidding from the musicians, because the same guys that that I was playing with on all those sessions, they all played on my stuff, you know, whether it was Rhinestone Cowboy or Wichita Lineman, Galveston. Uh-huh. It was the same guys, and it was so much fun in the studio with them because,
hey, old Big Shot's back with us, boys, you know.
Especially during the TV show. I went and did sessions with people after when I was doing the TV show.
And they weren't jealous?
I missed... Yeah. Yeah, I just missed the camaraderie with the musicians.
Oh, you mean when you were a big star, had the TV show, you would go back in and just do some session work on other people's
yeah.
stuff?
Mm-hmm. Just to see the guys, you know, see what was happening in that end of it. It was fun.
Well, you know, your breakout hit was Gentle on My Mind with Capitol mm-hmm. Records. I guess this was 1967, right? You want to tell us a little bit about recording that song?
Oh, I heard the song. John Hartford. He did the song. And I said, boy, it takes too long to get to the next verse. That's slow. And I just did it. I got a comfortable time on the song, you know, whether to do it slow, medium. And I just got it to where I could talk the song like, it's knowing that your door's always open and your path is free to walk. I just put it in a tempo that was comfortable, like I would be talking it without singing the melody.
Well, let's hear it. This is Gentle on My Mind by Glen Campbell.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch. And it's knowing I'm not shackled by forgotten words and bonds and the ink stains that are dried upon some new line. By the rivers of my memory, it keeps you ever gentle on my mind.
And that was my guest Glen Campbell with his breakout hit Gentle on My Mind from 1967. That was a huge hit. How did it change your life and career?
It changed everything. We did the Summer Brothers Smother Show. That just exploded everything. EMI had pressing, where they press the records. They had every person, every guy that could press records doing Glen Campbell records, because I'd had such a backlog of it. And then you come out and people see you on TV. TV is just an incredible media.
You mean, when people saw you on TV, suddenly the demand for the records just shot through the roof, you mean? Yeah.
And that was timing again. And I had all that I had recorded, and they'd middle of the charts, something, you know. Some of them didn't even get into the charts. But everything, it didn't matter what it was after the TV show, everything got in the charts, and almost all of them went to number one. It was just amazing.
Well, you know, one of them was Wichita Lineman, which was a great old favorite. And I just think this is such a wonderfully evocative tune.
Isn't that good?
We've all had the experience of working a shift, in a hospital or on a warehouse or wherever, and thinking about a pining for a love. Want to talk a little bit about this, recording this song?
Well, I just do a track first, and then I sing it three or four different times. And actually, I will put some songs you did on track one, put words there, and just change it around until I got it like I wanted it. But when the TV show hit, there was just everything. It didn't matter what I put out. It sold.
Well, let's listen to a little bit of Wichita Lineman. This is our guest, Glen Campbell.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation.
That was Wichita Lineman by our guest, Glen Campbell. Glenn, you have your guitar there?
Yeah.
You want to play us a little something?
Yeah, what do you want to hear?
You tell me. You want to play something? You want to play something from the new album?
I've been out walking. I don't do too much talking these days. These days. There's some good songs in this album.
Right. Now, that was an old Jackson Browne tune, right?
Yeah, Jackson Browne.
Yeah. We're speaking with Glenn Campbell. His new album is called Meet Glenn Campbell. Well, let me ask you, before I let you go, I want to ask you one or two more questions about your life.
Okay.
And you mentioned the television show. You became a TV star when you got associated with the Smothers Brothers that had that really edgy comedy show that eventually was taken off by CBS.
Right.
And that led you to getting your own musical variety show, the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour. And one of the things that was interesting about that was that the Smothers Brothers were always pushing this pushing the edge with anti-establishment, anti-Vietnam War comedy.
Yeah.
Think of you as maybe not so political. Were you comfortable with, the kind of edge and tone of what they were doing?
Not really. I thought there's when I listened to the show, I thought it was a little edgy, I don't think I'm in the music business to try to save the world or to focus my opinion. And Tommy, that's why they got threw off CBS. He stepped over the line a little bit, I believe. And that shouldn't even be a factor in as far as music goes, There's a war going on. Well, your life's got to go on. And I don't think there's... A lot of people would try to get their influence to stop this and stop that. They're not going to stop anything.
After the TV show became a huge hit, and your records then were selling like crazy, you were a mega star. And, of course, there was a long period in your life of addiction to alcohol and cocaine, which you wrote about in your book in 1994, and we're not going to drag you through all of the dark days. but with the benefit of hindsight, does it make any sense to you? Do you understand kind of how you went down road?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a long story. It wasn't nobody's fault but mine and my ex-wife. She was, God rest her soul, she didn't live very long. She was really into all that stuff. And it really broke me, as they say back home, it broke me from sucking eggs. I stopped doing all of it when I looked around. When I actually looked around to see what my life was doing then and what I was doing with it, I was, I don't know, it was like I was trying to destroy myself. Or I really didn't care, because I had no reason for it, actually, except a lot of people done me dirty. And, of course, I probably did dirty dirt to a lot of people. But I decided to just let God handle it. And I'll do as much as I can.
Well, I wish you the best with the new album. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Glenn.
Hey, thank you.
All right. Take care.
She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes. She'll be coming around a mountain. She'll be coming around a mountain. She'll be coming around a mountain when she comes.
Glenn Campbell's new album is called Meet Glenn Campbell.